And we're going to carry on along the same line as last night. So let's go to, as we mentioned, our two golden texts of Scripture we are teaching on. We're going to talk about standing, resisting, stand fast against the enemy. And John chapter 15, verse 7, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And this is our text. And it says here, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I remember hearing Brother Hagin teach on both of these scriptures, and one of the things he said about John 15, 7, is that the emphasis is on you in that verse of scripture. He said, if you, that's number one, abide in me. My words abide in you, number two. You shall ask what you will, that's two and three, or four, and it shall be done unto you, that's five times. So, when it comes to prayer, really it's on your part that it depends whether or not you have your prayers answered, because God gives you, as you mentioned, if God furnishes you the way on which you can receive from heaven, from God, then it really is up to you to learn how to abide in that prayer, abide in His presence and abide in Him to really get the answer that you need. It's not on God's part when prayers are not answered. God always answers us. And so it's up to us to really, to learn about prayer and to learn about the principles of prayer. And so some people even overemphasize prayer. It's all about prayer when you get from heaven. I've known people who come here every once in a while. They come to this church and all they do is emphasize prayer. See, prayer only can do what you know about God. Because prayer is based on what God said. And if you didn't know what God said, something you can pray, really standing on the foundation. So basically prayer, effective prayer, is based on the Word of God. And we gave you a scripture yesterday, some of you that were here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says in there that, let's put it up on here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Let's go look at that. Now I just want to I'll read this again while she's getting that. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So you is the main emphasis in that verse of scripture that John is talking about. Over here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, let's put it on the screen for everybody to see. John is talking. This is the confidence that we have in Him. And so the confidence comes from knowing the Word. Yeah. And confidence means that you do have faith. Because if you don't have faith, then you don't have confidence. Yeah. So it says that if we ask anything according to how we feel, according to what so-and-so said, no, according to His will. And we know that His will is His Word. That's how we know God's will is the Word. So if we ask anything, you could read it like this. If we ask anything according to the Word of God, He hears us. So we're guaranteed for God to hear us if we pray based on Scripture, based on the Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, based on those principles. We ask God for anything. If you can find a promise, if you can find a Scripture in the Bible that says you can have something, you can believe God for it. You can pray for it. Matter of fact, let me just say this. A lot of times, if you know your covenant, if you know your covenant rights, you know the Word, you don't really have to pray about something. You don't have to pray about something that you already know belongs to you. You can just start claiming it and say, this belongs to me and I thank you, Lord, for it. You don't have to beg God for it. You don't have to beg God for healing. Go, oh God, please heal me. He's already sent Jesus to do something about your healing. So So you don't have to beg God. And so that takes away a lot of the fear that most people have whether or not they're going to receive. Is there a percentage for me to receive my healing this day? So it's not about percentages. It's about knowing the will of God when it comes to prayer. So the Bible says, if you abide in me, in other words, if you're living in the reality of the New Testament, if you're living in the reality of God's word, night and day, you will ask what you will. That is, you ask inside the confines and the boundaries of the scripture. You can ask what you will in that fashion. Then you'll get what you've been praying about. So if you can see, you know, in Mark 11:24, let's go to Mark 11:24. Jesus is speaking to his disciples concerning faith and prayer. I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, you know, here's three things for you need to do all your life. And number one is learn about faith. Number two, learn about prayer. All you can about prayer. And then learn, you know, about healing. Because you're going to need those things all your life. If you can have that, you'll be the happiest person in the world because you don't have to depend on a whole lot of people to pray the prayer of faith for you, because you can pray the prayer of faith for yourself. Because if you ask someone to pray for you, how do you know they're in faith? You know, you should know that if you're in faith. So it's important for you to do that. Now, a lot of times, you know, of course, you have to stand on your own for a lot of stuff. And how many people know that prayers don't always come instantly? Particularly if you believe in God in the area of finances, because God has to bring channel the money to you through people. And people are not always quick to obey. It takes a while for somebody to bring something to you. There are some people, thank God, that I hang around with, they're quick to believe. And a lot of times they're quick to receive too. You know? So when you pray, notice this, when you pray, believe. And you believe you receive. So when you pray, you have to do this. You have to believe and to receive at the same time. Right? When you pray, believe that you receive. When do you actually receive? You receive right now. So if you can't receive right now, you're not ready to pray yet. Then you go back to the scriptures and meditate those and get it settled in your spirit, and then you pray. How many people with me today? Okay, so a lot of times people are quick to pray for somebody when they're not ready yet. And so we have a lot of prayer failure, because you didn't sow the word in them. You know, if you get the word in them or get the word to them, then they can be ready to receive. Don't ever pray for someone unless you give them the word first. Don't just pray for them right away, because you'll have prayer failure. And they'll ask someone else to pray. And then the next guy. And the next one. And they'll go to all the prayer meetings in town. And they still won't receive. Because they haven't learned that real successful prayer is based on knowing the will of God or the covenant of God. Amen. Yeah, pretty exciting around here. I feel like I'm running up a hill. Okay, so believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is talking about prayer. This is the dynamic of the prayer of faith. Yeah. And that is, you know, whatever you ask God, whatever things you desire, well, what is it you desire? Healing? Finances? Whatever it is. First, find the scripture. And then whatever you desire based on the word, because it says whatever, you know, we won't fail if we base it on the word, the will. When you pray, in other words, when you pray is the moment, right at that second, now is the time. When you're praying right now, what do? You receive. You receive. The moment you're praying, the time you're praying, the exact time you're praying, you're receiving by faith. You say, thank God. You know, I have it. Well, where is it? Well, it's in here. My spirit got a hold of it. And so you receive it. Some people just say, oh, thank God, lift their hands and say, I receive it, yeah. Well, how do you receive? Well, I believe it. I receive it. I believe I receive in my heart. Notice that there's timing involved. When you pray, is the now. When you pray, is now. When you pray, is now. The moment you're praying is right now, present tense. You receive them. What do you receive? You receive your desire by faith. And then there's another part to that. You believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You shall have is, you know, is future tense. That means you don't actually physically have them or naturally have them when you actually believe in faith. Okay, get your mind around that for a second, because you're believing you got it when you don't have it yet. Well, why do you believe it? Because faith is believing on the Word. It has nothing to do with your feelings or what you're sensing. It's believe, you know, according to Hebrews chapter 11. So you're believing on that. You're walking by faith, not by sight. You know, walking by faith is not easy. It's not easy to walk by faith, especially when the days are dark and long and there's no sunshine in your life at times. You have to walk by faith. Everybody has to have those times. Every one of you is going to have those days where there's no human help possible. Brother Hagin used to say this to us. He says, this is you and the, you know, the naked Word of God. Sometimes it's you. And you can sing the song, you and me against the world. Sometimes it feels like you and me against the world. When all the troubles are hanging on to me, you can say, you and me against the world. You're talking to your soul. You know, there's times you want to feel sorry for yourself when things are not going right and the enemy's attacking you. You have to stand fast against him. Come on, devil. Come on. You shall receive them. So that's the prayer of faith. And go back to verse 23. So verse 23 only works when you know to verse 24 only works when you know verse 23. In other words, faith, you know, it actually hinges on every prayer that you'll ever pray. The prayer of faith will hinge on every prayer you pray. You have to believe, even if you ask God for forgiveness, you have to believe that He forgives you. And the devil will bring out something in 1964. Say, remember that problem? And you stole that and you did this. And nobody knows, but I know. And he'll bring it up on you and says, that's why you're not getting healed, because, you know, you stole that over there. But it's all under the blood. So let's go to verse 23. Let's go to verse 22 first. And then 23. Jesus answering and said unto him, have faith in God. Why was he saying that? Because he just demonstrated about saying and you know, saying something in faith, and you know, but this, he said, this is how works in prayer. She said, have faith in God. The correct rendering is have the God kind of faith. There's a difference between God kind of faith and God, you know, the man kind of faith, or human kind of faith. Human faith depends on, as it's described to us in John chapter 20, I believe it is, verse 24, and that is, you just believe according to how you see things, how you feel. Because, you know, Thomas said, I believe when I see it. Yeah. It doesn't take much faith, doesn't take any faith at all, just to believe you have something when you actually see it. You don't need faith then. You already saw it. So, Jesus said, have the faith of God, have the faith of God, the faith of God. Then he explains what the faith of God is, and you have to know that when you're praying. And you can operate in us, we can operate that kind of faith because we have that kind of faith like God. And it operates two ways, two principles in verse 23. So this has to, this prayer has to, you know, this kind of prayer has to, you have to know the dynamics of this in order for all other prayers to work. That prayer of, you know, intercession and supplication. You have to know this, this is what you have to, this is the granddaddy of prayer. And so here it is. Verse 23, Jesus said, for, is connected to verse 22. The faith of God, have the faith of God. For, or because, I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mountain represents any kind of trial or trouble you have, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall not doubt in his heart. We always, you know, he always used to say this to us, our good Dr. Hagin used to always say this, faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. Even when you pray, you'll always have doubt coming to you, but you, this is called the fight of faith. The fight of faith is when you're struggling in your mind about it's not working, what if this happens, and what about these troubles, what about this, then you got to sort that out. As the Bible teaches us, we pull down the strongholds, we pull down imaginations that comes against what God says about what you should have or what you're praying about. That takes some energy. So it's not easy to walk by faith a lot of times. It's easy to quit or just quit and not even try. Because you say, it's the devil says, oh, you know, you might as well quit anyway. You know what? Go ahead and watch the baseball game here. You know? Let Johnny die. He doesn't belong, you know? So you have to trust God. So he says, shall not doubt in his heart, that is, but shall believe, that is, believe in his heart, that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Here's two principles. Number one, the prayer faith or the God kind of faith works like this. You believe with your heart. Everybody say, believe with the heart. What does that mean, believe with the heart? It means you believe with your spirit or believe from the inside. That means you're believing independent of your five senses. But you're believing according to the word. You're not believing with your five senses. You're not believing because you feel good about it, because you felt when you're praying, oh, you felt a little tingle, or you felt this presence of God. Oh, he's answering me, you know. Didn't you feel that chill? You know? This is how we go, charismatics, right? Ooh, I just feel something up in my spine. Right? I fell into the power, so God must have said, no, you can fall into the power and still nothing happened to you. Because you get up there and the devil will tell you you didn't receive anything. Because you're bad. Yeah. You're real bad. Look at how you're thinking. If you're a Christian, you could never be a Christian and think that way. Besides that, you got a big nose. No, this is what Brother Hagin would say. Okay, now, so the first thing is believing with your heart. And that is you believe independent of your five senses. When you're praying, you're not using your senses to believe. You're using your heart. Your spirit. And the second principle is that you believe in your own words. Yeah. You believe in what you say, and not what the doctor said, and not what the banker said, and not what the circumstances said, not what all your friends are saying. You believe in what God says. Amen. Why do you believe you have it? Everything's getting worse. No, I'm believing what the Word of God says. I'm pushing aside all the stuff and all the stats saying this and everybody's saying that. The police are saying that. The doctors are saying that. The lawyers, the courts, everybody's saying different. Yeah? So you believe in what God said. So when you're praying, you're going to have to fight all these things that is coming to your senses. You're not believing how you feel. They will ask you, well, how you feel about it since you prayed? Well, I kind of feel weak right now. Right? And I just saw Brother So-and-so, they said they had the same thing and they died. So you're fighting. The fight of faith happens in here. In your mind, and when you start thinking something, it starts affecting how you feel. Yeah. Then it starts affecting how you think again. And say, in fact, have you seen full faith, Pamosa? Right? You got that?
Yeah.
So this is the two things over here. Now, since we understand this, the principles is that when you pray, you're not looking to, we just prayed, we felt so good. Is there any changes? Hey, I want to go home right now and see if there's any changes. I'm going to ask all my friends, did you feel that? No, I don't care how anybody feels. And Brother Hagin used to tell us this, I don't care if everybody else, the whole world says this. If the Word says this, I'm staying right here. And that's where we got to be when it comes to believing God for something. Because when you pray, things will automatically change. In fact, they might even get worse in the meantime until you continue to stand. Because there's times it can get worse. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Something's happening here. This is coming out. Where's Craig? Pastor Craig. Okay, chapter 18. Now, Ephesians 6:18. You know, this is only for those that God put aside. It's meant for the prayer warriors. This verse of scripture is only for intercessors. Eh? Or it belongs to everybody. Eh? Does it belong to only a special group of people? Ephesians 6:18, that's talking about you. Because you like to pray. No, this belongs to everybody. So this verse of scripture has been added to what we call the armor of God and the weaponry of God. He talks about in there the whole verse of scripture, verse 10, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. And so can we go to verse 10? Are we allowed to go there tonight? Okay. Yeah. She's going to let us go there. Amen. Okay. Let's give her a hand. Come on. You let us go there. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're all cooperating together. We're together. If I couldn't do this, you know, she makes me a better preacher because we all see that. All see this. So finally, my brethren and sisters, be strong in how you feel. It has nothing to do with feelings. Be strong in the Lord. If when you're strong in the Lord, you're strong in the Word. The only way you can be strong is in the Word. You have to emphasize the Word more than anything else, more than your feelings, more than circumstances. You have to, the Lord is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Okay, so be strong in the Word and in the power of His might, that's the Holy Ghost. And go to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the tricks of the devil. So we have to put on this armor. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's not humans, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. These three partitions of evil are demonic forces that we have to deal with in this world that Jesus already defeated. They're here. They're here. They're there. But they're already defeated. That's what you have to know, because Paul already explained that in chapter 1 and 2. That Jesus raises up over these spirits. Chapter 1, verse 20, I believe it's 22, that the Bible said that Jesus, He was raised up against over these powers. And chapter 2, verse 6, that we've been raised and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. When we're in Christ, we're over these powers. They want you to think that they have one up on you. And as long as you think that, you'll always be trying to claw your way into victory. But you already have victory. Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15 says that Jesus already annihilated, defeated them, and paralyzed them, that they cannot do anything against you. In Psalm 23, the Bible tells us that Jesus prepared a table in front of our enemies. And there's nothing he can do. Yeah, they're there for a while, for a season, until they'll be put away one time. Because right now, Satan is the god of this world, but not our God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, this whole world is under the control, the influence of the devil. And if you're not careful as a Christian, if you're not enlightened with the Word, you can fall under that category too, if you're not in the Word. Because the devil, the Bible says, he has tricks of deception. And he'll lie to you and get you to emphasize what you see, what you feel, or what the circumstances look like, and how things are getting worse than it was last week. But if you hang on to the Word will always pull you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is this okay? Yes. How many people think this is okay? Yes. It's a good teaching. Eh? This is God's Word. I mean, this will save you. Yes. You know, here's the thing about it, is that, you know, we need to learn how to pray and stand on our... Brother Hagin says, you should have a back like a crowbar. Stand up on your own. And stop depending on everybody else for your prayer time. What you should be praying about and believing God for, why take it to someone else? The Bible doesn't tell us to take all our prayers to someone else. He tells you to pray about your requests. I'm talking about informed Christians. Now, if you don't know anything, of course you won't be able to do this, because you'll be looking to someone to get victory for you all the time. But if you come to this church, and I'm your pastor, and you're not going to be calling me at night because you're trying to believe God for a headache, or whatever it is, because I'm going to tell you, pray yourself. You know, of course, I'll pray for you too, though. But I was teased about that, because I want to make it strong enough, because I believe in you. I believe the Word of God will work for you too. The Word of God is for everybody. Not just the pastor. Oh, he's strong. No, you're stronger than you feel. You're stronger than what the Bible tells you. And don't let the devil slap you around at night as you're sleeping all night long. You wake up, you know, you don't know if you can go to work or not. When you get out of bed, the devil says, oh, he's up. God gives his beloved sleep. He gives us sweet sleep, the Bible says, sweet sleep. And you know, the Bible says that God had to put Abraham to sleep one night. Had to shut him up because he could have messed up the covenant. we need to be put to sleep sometime. Now, these are spiritual forces that Jesus already defeated. And so, just to show you, let's stop there and visit the Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's all go there right now, if you want to follow us, if you're there. If not, you can stay there, we'll come back to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you know, you're acting smart right now because you're with your big brother. But when you get out in the schoolyard, you go, the devil's sitting in the back of your car going, I'm going to get you. And you start watching, tonight when you start watching, you know, Dr. Darkness. On you know, watching Dateline, your favorite movie. And he comes around and tells you, remember that movie? Okay, here we go. And you, everybody say, you means me. Being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, that was before you're born again, hath he quickened, or had made alive, hath he quickened together with him. In other words, when Jesus was God, when Jesus quickened Jesus, when God quickened Jesus by the Holy Ghost, when he was down, you know, he had to become us. He took our sin. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said he became sin for us, and he went down and went down for us so that you don't have to go down. Amen. Once you believe, you go up, up, up. Amen. With Jesus if you die. Amen. So he had to quicken together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So all your sins, he's forgiven. So which one of them has he been bothering you about? Well, he can't. He might try. But you're forgiven. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, having spoiled, that word spoiled, in the original language, means he paralyzed. He put the knot. He reduced to zero. That's what it says. He reduced to zero the principalities and powers. That's what he's talking about over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He reduced them to zero. What did he do? He triumphed over them, had victory over them. His victory was awarded to us. Because we went down with him, we were raised together with him, and we triumphed with him in Christ. So that's what we have to remember. And so we're going to concentrate on and believe God to stand against the enemy and believe God for whatever it is we're believing God for. It's 8:09 now. I think we went 25 minutes already, right? 25 minutes. I'll give you a couple more minutes, but I'm going to charge you extra tonight. So God, you know, he you know, we talked about this week, you know, there's the, you know, for me, I don't know about you. Yes, we're going to pray for the government. I pray for the government regularly. Not just when the voting time. I vote for the government regularly. Everybody say regularly. Come on, say it like I do. Say regularly.
Regularly.
Say regularly. See, that's what you got to do. Right? You got to pray for them regularly. Because God wants us to live in peace. And there's demonic forces are coming against our leadership, and they're fighting all each other, and like a schoolyard, kids fighting each other, all these parties and all that, and we all get involved in it, and yeah, we hate that. We hate you too. Yeah, you're bad. And so we fight each other and all that stuff going on. And the Bible said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood.
Right.
And all of a sudden you catch yourself, you're fighting them too. And you mind, that's what you're doing, right? But then you catch yourself. And you slap yourself around. You know, what are you doing over there? What am I doing here? Your spirit and your soul is fighting. Yeah, I told you to go over there. Go over there right now. No, I'm not going to get there. You're fighting. You're having a fight on the inside. Yeah. And your flesh is fighting. It talks about your flesh and your spirit is fighting against each other. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the flesh and the spirit. It's not talking about Holy Spirit and you having it out. It's your inner man, your spirit that's born again, and your flesh. Your unrenewed self is fighting. Fighting who's going to lead, do the leading in life. And if you don't get the word in it, you're going to have a losing battle on your hand. And you'll just be fighting in the natural, when all the while the devil's saying, laughing his way, and he's having victory. So we got to be spiritually minded when we talk about, you know, fighting against the enemy. And the only way we can win the victory is stay in the spirit. We can't just be messing around with our emotions. And this is where we're going to stop right now. We're going to come back to this someday. Because we want to know that we're going to fight against the enemy. You know, we're going to talk about prayer there and intercession. Intercession that I was going to talk about tonight, which I didn't get to, which I will do at some point. Intercession is a tool and a weapon when we have to stand against the enemy. Intercession is important for us to pray for those people who cannot fight for themselves, who are not born again, and who have been away from God and can't come back on their own because they went out too far, and we need to pull them back in. The Bible talks about pulling them away from the fires of hell. Hallelujah. So are you strong in the Lord?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We resist the enemy. And there's no space and time in the spirit. And if there's an enemy that's coming against you, we're going to stand together. I want us all to stand together in faith tonight. And there's an enemy against all individuals here that are coming against them with sickness, disease, with mental health situations, physical pain, physical problems, financial situations, family relationships, relationships between father and daughter, mom and daughter and son, daughter, dogs and cats. I mean, everybody's fighting against each other. We stand against that. Lord, we focus to you tonight. We thank you. We look to you because you're the sovereign God, the almighty God, the God that created everything. And we're looking to you tonight for answers. We're looking to you to solve these problems because on our own, governments can do only so much. Doctors can do so much. Medicine itself can do so much. But you, Lord, you know everything. You're the almighty God. You created everything. You're the great I am. You're the great holy, holy one. And so we're looking to you today. We yield to you our whole spirit, our soul, and our body to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask your forgiveness of anything that we're wrong in. And forgive us for speaking wrong and thinking wrong. And wash us with your blood, Lord Jesus. Help us to walk straight. We turn away from things that's causing us division between the Spirit of God and us. We turn away. We turn away. We repent in this holy house of God right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you because you've given us victory already.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy has already been defeated. And we're going to take our place in battle and stand against the enemy. We speak to the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Enemy, we know your place. You are under our feet. You must obey the command in the name of Jesus to desist your maneuvers against all individuals in this house right now, in the area of their physical bodies, of their homes, of their jobs and finances, in their marriages and their children and their relationships. We command you that for harassing people and causing division and causing ill will against one another, in the name of Jesus, I command you, and we command you all. The Bible says, if we agree together, as touching anything, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. If two shall agree on earth, as touching anything, it shall be done. And so, we agree together that you will immediately get your hands off everyone right here, right now. You get your hands off every part of their family, spirit, soul, and body. Get out of their houses. Get out of their financial endeavors. Get out of their marriages. Get out of their relationships. Get out of their homes. Get away from the family, the children and parents in the name of Jesus. And everything that would cause any destruction, any sickness, any disease, any bondage, any darkness, we command you in the name of Jesus by the power of God, of the living God, you go right now. In the name of Jesus. You leave that premises. You leave that house right now. You leave that home right now. In the name of Jesus. By the authority of the word of God we saw and heard tonight. Faith comes by hearing. We stand on that word. We say, angels of God, go forth and cause peace. cause healing to come, cause joy to come, cause the money to come in for the people that need it right now in the name of Jesus.